people in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As many of you know, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and he has a statue now that's been dedicated to his honor. And those of you who lived during that era know that the statue was not dedicated because he was a great preacher. He certainly had many wonderful speeches, but it's dedicated because this was a man who was willing to die for his principles. And as I think about his life, the words that we spoke today in Micah come to mind. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. As I was looking at some of the aspects of his life, I remember his letter from a Birmingham jail. Now, this was a man who had death threats constantly. This was a man that if he marched, he was actually breaking the law and he would be put in jail. Now, we can't imagine doing some of the things that were done to him today, but that's how life was back in the 60s. But the thing that really upset him the most was not the hateful racial slurs. It was not the Ku Klux Klan. It was his fellow ministers and the churches at that time that distressed him the most. He said that I must make two honest confessions to you, my Christian and Jewish brothers. First, I must confess that over the past few years, I have been gravely disappointed. I have reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the Ku Klux Klan, but the white moderate who is most devoted to order than to justice. And then he shared a letter that he received from a white minister. And he said, he writes, as any Christian knows, that the colored people will receive equal rights eventually, but it is possible that you are in too great a religious hurry. It has taken Christianity almost 2,000 years to accomplish what it has. The teachings of Christ take time to come to earth. And so Martin Luther King Jr. responded to that in part by saying, we must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always ripe to do what is right. One of the dangers of the Christian church in any age is that we think that what happens here in this building, in this sacred place, has absolutely nothing to do with what happens outside these walls. And so we talk about our Christianity and our faith journey as a very private act between me and God, but has nothing to do with my actions. And that is so contrary to the Word of God. In Micah's time, he was addressing a very affluent group. And the poor were getting poorer and the rich were getting richer. And so Micah addressed the rich and he said, God is not concerned with all the things you bring into his house if you're not doing what you need to do outside his house. James puts it less eloquently in his letter, but more to the point, faith without works is dead. And so what happens here should be the training ground for what happens outside. What does God require? What does he want us to do? He said to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And so those are the activities, those are the practices that once we leave this place, we need to be engaged in. And we start in our homes. We start with how we treat each other and how we teach each other. Then we go into the local community, then further out, and then hopefully globally. I'd like to share what justice and mercy is. Now, justice means to do the right thing and to be right. But you can't have justice without mercy, because if you just have justice, it's punitive. And if you just have mercy, it's indulgent. They have to be held in tension. And I'll give you an example of how I learned about justice and mercy at the age of 14. The age of 14, I gave my mother a hypothetical situation. I don't know if any of you kids do this, but you know when you just want to poke your parents in the eye with certain things? Now, at that time, the worst thing that a young lady could imagine doing was to get pregnant. That was the worst. That was when a young lady in my time got pregnant, no one ever talked about it, but all of a sudden she was out of school and in a home someplace far away. And then she came back the next year and nobody could ask what happened. So that was the bad thing to do, was to get turn up pregnant. So I asked my mother one day, "Mom, what would you do if I got pregnant?" And without skipping a beat and without yelling or screaming, she said to me, "Before or after I break your legs?" So I said, "Well, after. What would you do after you broke my legs?" And she said, "We'd raise that child and love the child. What else would we do?" Justice and mercy. I get my legs broken, but they take care of the kid. And this is the type of thing that we need to be about, not just in the big issues of our time, but the little issues. Justice and mercy go hand in hand. And this is what we practice when we're outside of this building. If our religion only happens here, then it's not religion. The purest form of religion is justice and mercy going hand in hand. And then the third component of that is walking humbly with our God. That means not putting on a false humility, or humility where we cannot take a compliment. But walking humbly means that we know who we are. We're one person, we're beloved by God, but we are not God. And so we don't demand of God. We walk in His will and we ask Him to lead us. That's the kind of life that we want to live. Martin Luther King once gave a speech to a college group, and he said, "Some of us are sleeping through the revolution." And he said, "All the good that we could be doing, we're not doing, because we're sleeping." And may it not be said of this church, as we face the challenges of a new year, and we don't know what those challenges are, we don't know how our faith is going to be tested, we don't know the issues that will be out in this community, but we do know that we have a mandate to do the right thing, to be compassionate, and to be humble. That's the job of the Christian church. Let us all go forth from this place and do our jobs. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the life of one man who stood up when no one else wanted to stand up, who marched, who took care of his people, and by doing so took care of all of us to point us to the way of justice and mercy. And I ask, O Lord, that you would help us this day, so many years later, to be the church on the move, to not only speak our faith here, but practice our faith outside these walls. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 559, "Lord, Dismiss Us with Your Blessing"?